It is so wonderful to see so many people who know the rule about turning your clock forward. I'm actually quite surprised. And Pastor, I'm so pleased that you got your clock turned forward, but it was probably Becky who did it. Anyway, it's wonderful to see you all here this morning. I have a smile on my face because Marlene just shared with me her great news that she has, that she's going to go to Missouri to live with her daughter and son-in-law, or is it son and daughter-in-law? Yes, and all our grandkids. So what a blessing it is that that prayer was answered. So how wonderful for that. It's a snowball that's moving, but she's getting herself packed. So this morning, I would like to start us out with a song, and then it will also give you an opportunity, I would hope, to look through your hymnal and see what songs you would like to suggest. But I'm up here, so I'm going to take the opportunity to choose first. And my choice this morning is number 530, Are You Able? And I want you to think of this song when I read the passage this morning from our scripture. Are You Able? Verses 1 and 4. Yes, Ron. 381, 1 and 4. 381 is Savior like a shepherd lead us. 1 and 4. Thank you. another. Yes, Dina.
145, 1 in 3.
Morning has broken, indeed it has. For another. And yes. 593. 1 in 3. Prepare our hearts for our service. morning, Diane. That was gorgeous. Thank you. Good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. It is wonderful to see you all here. As I had said earlier, I am just so excited to see that so many people know how to flip that clock forward. That was wonderful, and still are feeling good enough about it that they've come to church. So that is just a big hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That is wonderful. So that's enough to get you excited, isn't it? I didn't think there would be that many people that would remember. So you've renewed my faith in our church and our people who come. And so that brings us to announcements this morning. Welcome. And yes, please do sign in on the red pew pad. I had a conversation the other day with Lauren, and Lauren had commented on the fact that I never come to church. And I said, yes, I do. I come to the church all the time. And she says, well, you never registered in the pew pad. And it's true. I think I forget to do that because I'm doing other things. So, yes, Lauren wants to know you're here. So please sign in. She does pay attention to that. And visitors, please sign in as well. We love to know who's visiting with us. So that's good information for us to have. As we continue on that you've signed in, we have birthdays this month, and there's a whole slew of them. Becky's here. We wished you happy birthday last week, too, but we're going to continue to wish you. And likewise, Rachel is here with us today, so we say happy birthday to Rachel as well. Alicia's not here, but someone close to Alicia is here, so she will extend those birthday wishes down that way. So we wish everybody a happy birthday. Love the little poem that went along with that, so I leave you to read that at your leisure. The newsletter is out there on the website, and what a wonderful read that is. And while you're out there on the so it's available in the Narthex. It is available online. And while you're online, you can look at announcements and all kinds of wonderful information that we do have on our website. And it's a wonderful portal for you if you find yourself at home not able to come to service, that you can click on the button there to come into Zoom, if I recall correctly. And nextly, new word. Next, we will have the book club. The book club is meeting in the Camellia Room. Is that this week? Yes, it is this week, March 12th at 10 a.m. The book that is being read is The Kite Runner, a wonderful read. I remember reading it a number of years ago, so hopefully those who are participating are enjoying that that read. It was very a good read. Very good read. So then we have the pastor's lunches the next day on March 13th at noon at the Legend. Price is $15, and the sign-up sheet, I think we'll be back with Kathy, where you can purchase script at the same time. So, and if you miss either of those locations, please make sure you call the church office, and you can get your name on the list that way as well. Additionally, we have the quilt, crochet, knit, craft, or create. What a great opportunity to meet with friends. I know that Judy had said maybe last time there were only a couple, but a couple can do a lot of things and share tricks and just all kinds of information, even non-crafty related. So that's going to be March 16th, that's a Saturday, from 9:30 to 4 p.m. in the Matthews Room. Bring a lunch if you choose, and whatever project you might be working on, what a great time to socialize and be creative. So you see the telephone numbers there of Dina and Judy. If you want to get more information, please make sure you find that information. And if you miss those numbers and you want to see it again, see it on the newsletter and call Lauren. And we are the Serial Church. You've noticed the cereal sitting out there the last couple of weeks. We've been very responsive in helping the ICSC gather foods. We are the church. We've designated ourselves as the Serial Church. So there's boxes of cereal that always go to ICLS to then be used in the community for those who don't have something to put on their table in the morning for breakfast. Stephen is still looking for gently used and casual adult clothing. Remember, this is clothing that is going to persons who have been recently released from prison, so they're not looking necessarily for suits and ties, but they're just looking for casual wear that they can now assimilate back into public. And lastly, on the second, this is the second Sunday. So typically, Hearts Grow is today. Children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of fellowship time. So that's a wonderful resource that we offer. So if you know of children that could benefit from that, bring them one of these Sundays on the second or fourth Sunday. And that concludes our announcements. Did anybody have anything extemporaneous? Nope. Okay, good. Then that will lead us right into our call to worship. And so, if you are able, will you stand and join with me in the call to worship? This is the day that the Lord hath made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
You are our God. We will praise you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And now let's continue praise and sing, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed, number 359. Now it's time to turn and greet one another as we pass the peace. We're going to continue with our passing of the peace by sharing our joys and concerns with one another. I need a teacher up here so she can show me how you get your classroom back in order, April. April had to deal with little first graders, so she would know how to get a classroom back in order. What do we do? Clap our hands? Yes. Thank you very much. So it's wonderful to see everybody catching up and knowing, getting to know what's going on. So thank you for doing that. And I would hope that you would do the same when you go across the hall for our coffee and fellowship. Now we have the mic that's coming around. Deb is here. If you'll share any joy that you have, or we will share your concerns as well.
Without going into detail, I would just like to ask you for prayers for my daughter, Dawn. She's going through a lot of stuff.
Good morning, everybody. Obviously, Lorraine isn't here. I'm getting a little bit concerned. She gets so worn out so easily. She could not make it to church today. She loves to come to church. Now, Sophie is her service dog. So I went to bring Sophie to church, and she just growled at me. She was laying in bed next to Lorraine, and she was not leaving Lorraine's side. So I'm here solo today. She is a very strong person, but this, what she has gone through with her eye, has really knocked her for a loop, and it concerns me because she is so strong. So we're going back to UCLA Thursday. They're going to check her eye out again. We've got two appointments in May. One is for some more of that horrible testing that they do, and at the end of May, she's going back in for surgery. So continue praying. It's working, but I just want to let you know what's going on. She would love to be here. She just couldn't do it today. Thank you.
Yes, of course, we will absolutely continue praying for Lorraine. Before we proceed, I'd like to recognize all those who have come to join us via Zoom, our faithful worshipers. Want to say hello to Helen. Hello, hello. And Joyce and June. And we have one who comes on iPad. We really appreciate your presence, whoever you are. Hello to you. And Bill is worshiping with us from home. And Carol and Mike, hello to you. David down in Hemet. And Alicia, good morning. And happy birthday, yes. So I think Alicia is turning what? Somewhere around 25?
Always.
And Alicia has the same birthday as Destiny. They were both born on the 22nd.
Seriously?
So it's a mother-daughter birthday party. That's a big day of celebration.
So Destiny, happy birthday. Happy birthday. All right, so who else do we have? I guess just... June and Joyce, yes, absolutely, yes. And then David yes, Brown. From Hemet. Mm-hmm. And we will know a little bit more. I mean, we have Becky's sisters, whole gang, filling our pew. Becky survived her birthday. She just turned 40.
Times two. I would like you to meet my sister Dottie. Dottie Gray is from the Washington, D.C. area, and Kathy comes from the Denver area, and they did come for a phenomenal birthday party, not really. They planned a birthday party with zero of my input. And when I ask, you know, what's going to go on, they said, it's none of your business. So you kind of know how my sisters are, but it's so fabulous to have them here. Tom, Dottie's husband, and Rick, Kathy's husband, were both also here, are both also here. And we don't get together very frequently through a year. So it's pretty monumental when we have a chance to all get together and giggle.
I have learned a lot about the personalities of the sisters or some characteristic of the whole family. Lorraine Popejoy, she was in rehab, and then Joyce, her niece, has found the Borden Care in Beaumont, and she will be moving to Beaumont within. Has she already moved?
Today.
She's moving today, and it's gonna take a couple of days for her to settle. So we'll give you the we'll send the address through the prayer chain, and if you would send card, she would really appreciate that. And continue our prayers for Lorraine as well.
I just wanted to give you an update on my sister, Alita Kirker. Last week they were supposed to be in Arizona, but they had to cancel their trip. She got up Monday morning with just horrible, I didn't even recognize her voice, a respiratory infection, and then she had a really serious asthma attack, which she has not had in a long, long time. She's been to the doctor several times. And they've got some stuff that works, and she's coming out of it. She's still really tired. She's had now about 6 weeks of what, where I grew up, would be called the creeping crud. And she's tired, but she is coming out of it. We actually did a tiny bit of shopping and lunch yesterday. Mainly, I think she just wanted out of the house. But she is feeling somewhat better. She still is doing everything by messenger or texting or something because it's hard on her voice, but she is feeling much better. I appreciate your prayers, and I ask that you please continue them. Thank you.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Judy. I just had a joyful, joyful day yesterday. I called my son and said, could I go over and see my grandson? And he said, sure, come on over. And I got over there, and my other son was there. So I got to see both of my sons and my grandson. And so that was really a lot of fun because we had a really rousing discussion of a lot of different things, which we always do because we don't agree on anything. And then afterwards, last night, I got to talk to Hakan, which I haven't talked to him in about a week. We've just been texting, and so I got to see his face on FaceTime. So it was just nice to see everybody that I loved.
Good job.
Hi, I'm Pat Shores. Usually on Saturdays, my sister will call me and say, you're doing anything? And I say, no. And she'll say, well, if you get back to my house in 10 minutes, you can go with me down to see the babies. Well, yesterday she hadn't called, so I finally called her, and she didn't answer. Anyway, later in the evening, and she called me. She had been at Kaiser Fontana for some testing and so forth, and she's going to see the babies today right after church, so I'll be going too. Thank you.
That'll be good.
Anyone else in the sanctuary? Anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand and unmute.
June.
Okay, June. You got to unmute, June.
There we go. I have a joy. My daughter Connie and her husband are leaving right now, driving to California. And her family is coming from Chicago and Boston with my new little great granddaughter. And we're going to together here, so that's my joy. It looks like God has given us the weather. My prayer is for travel and good health for all of us others here.
And a good mini family reunion. That sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm. First in a long time.
Anybody else on Zoom?
I didn't see any other hands go up. So we'll keep all those requests for prayers upmost in our hearts and our in our voice, and rejoice in joy with those that we can rejoice with. And now we will continue in our service with our unison prayer. Dear Lord, how comforting it is to know that your grace abounds even when we suffer from guilt and remorse. Our spirit is eager to live rightfully before you, but our weak flesh is prone to habitual failures. We can always come to you, no matter how unworthy we may feel, for your grace is far greater than our flaws and shortcomings. Grant us the wisdom to know our weaknesses and the faith to embrace your forgiving love. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And let us continue our prayers in silence. And this is a time that we can be really, really honest to God and tell God what we are going through, what we need. And God listens to our prayers. Ever since you have come into our lives, O Lord, we are no longer alone. We don't walk this life long journey by ourselves, but we are with you. And we can feel your presence in so many different ways. We can reach out to you through our prayers. We can reach our hands and can feel you. We can hear your voices speaking to us through your Holy Spirit, through your Holy Word. There are so many ways that we see your presence. Through the beauty of this nature, we appreciate in our daily living. We see your grace through the hands of our friends and families. Lord, your presence is well known to us. We recognize it and we give thanks to your presence. So, Lord, as we come before you, we come with thanksgiving, recognizing all the wonderful things that you have done to us. And you have done it over and over. We experience your power before, and we experience it again today. We experience your healing before, and we receive healing from your presence again today. Lord, we come before you with this confession of faith that you are in our life, that we can always reach out to you in so many different ways. So as we join our hearts in prayer this morning, we come to you through our prayers and ask you to listen to our pleas, our requests for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our churches here and everywhere throughout the world. We ask you to manifest your presence in our communities and in this world today. You are deeply involved in our lives, and you continue to use us to build your kingdom. So as we worship you this morning, we rededicate ourselves to be your disciples in the world today, asking you to use us and be glorified by our services, by our presence, by our prayers, by our dedication to you. So now, as one community of faith, we join our hearts in prayer, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's story is Love Gave, written by Quinoa Aragon, illustrated by Ramel Ruiz. Before God made the heavens and the earth, he lived in perfect joy. He delighted in himself, one forever existing perfect being, Father, Son, and Spirit all in one. So before time was, there was love. In love, God made everything, even you and me. Now he made us to be his friends, but we have a big, big problem. Do you know what it is? Sin. Our greatest grandparents, Adam and Eve, walked away from God in the Garden of Eden. And since then, we're all born with a seed of sin in our hearts. We lie, we steal, we cheat, and it all breaks his heart. You see, God is perfectly clean, like a brand new shirt. Our sin makes us filthy, like we rolled in the dirt. So the big, big problem is this. God is so good, and sin is so bad. God and sin just can't be friends. What should God do with us? We have sin. And because of our sin, we should get forever death, forever far away from him, forever never God's friend, all because of sin. But God is love, Father, Spirit, Son, and love loved us so much, love gave us Jesus. Now Jesus is God's Son, but he was a lot like you and me. He loved to play, talk, and sing. And do you know what else he loved? Children. They'd come for tickles and stories and hugs. Sometimes they'd come with messy hair and stinky feet. But do you think Jesus loved them any less? Do you think he'd first make them take a bath? Ha, of course not. He brought them close every time. He showed them what God is like, strong and gentle, honest and kind. And then one day, like the most amazing friend, Jesus gave us the biggest gift. A gift more exciting than your wildest dreams, a gift sweeter than all the ice cream you could ever eat, a gift even better than 100 presents, a gift that costs the price of heaven. Can you guess what it was that Jesus gave us? Well, here it is. Jesus died and rose again to take away all our sins and make us his forever friends. You see, this gift God gave us was the greatest gift of all. He gave us himself. That is love. So how can we get God's greatest gift? How can we become Jesus' friends? By trying really, really hard to be perfect? By saving all our pennies to pay for it? By learning a bunch of big, big words like communicable attribute? No, 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 none of those things will do. Don't you see? God is love. And love is received by anyone who will just believe. Who can be friends with Jesus? When Jesus lived here on earth, he met lots of different people. Some had a bunch of money and toys. Others had very few toys. Some knew tons of stuff about God. Others knew very little about God. Some had lots of friends. Others had no friends at all. But Jesus knew that our biggest problem isn't how much or how little we have. Our big, big problem is our sin. It keeps us from being friends with God. But it was always God's plan to show us his great love by giving us Jesus, who died for our sins and rose again so that we could become his friends. John 15:13. John, a very good friend of Jesus, told us, "To all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." John 1:12. Jesus wants to be your friend too. Will you trust him today? None of us are too old to go to Jesus as children. And thank God for that. Amen.
Thank you, Deb. Another wonderful story choice. That was wonderful. And now will you join in our song, "How Great Thou Art," number 77 in the songbook.
Yeah.
Our scripture reading comes from the 20th chapter of Matthew, verses 20 through 28, the request of the mother of James and John. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked favor of him. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left, this is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard it, they were angry with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." The word of God for the people of God.
To God. So good to see you all. I've never seen Susan so excited.
Oh, yes. We're forward.
So you gotta be a liturgist next year. Yeah. When the daylight saving changes. Before I proceed, I'd like to let the people know, if anybody hasn't heard. Marlene is going to move up to Missouri to be with her daughter. Marlene, do you know when you are going to leave? Tuesday? Okay. So she's going to go Tuesday. And please pray for the safe flight. All right. So we extend warm welcome to each and every one of you who are worshiping here and also worshiping via Zoom. And I pray that you will experience God's visit as we worship today together and hear God's voices speaking to you and to your heart. A farmer wanted to train his dog for bird hunting and took him to an obedience school. After several weeks, the farmer went back to pick up his newly trained bird dog and asked the instructor for a demonstration. The two men and the dog went to a nearby field where the dog immediately pointed to a clump of brush, then rolled over twice. "There are two birds in there," the instructor said, and sure enough, two birds were flushed. A minute later, the dog pointed to another bunch of bushes and then roll over five times. There are five birds in there, the instructor noted. And indeed, five birds were driven from the brush. Then the dog pointed to a third clump. He began to whine and run in circles until he found the stick, which he shook mightily and dropped at the man's feet. And in that clump of bush there, the proud instructor concluded, there are more birds than you can shake a stick at. Dog lovers know what their dogs can do and cannot do, and their expectations vary according to their dog's abilities. Some dogs are very intelligent and can run errands. Some have an extraordinary ability to distinguish smells. Some dogs are just lovely and great companions for people. Maybe Sophie satisfies all those conditions. Becky and I decided to get a Korean dog when our kids were little. We found Lucy, a white female Jindo. She looked lonely, and we added another Korean dog as Lucy's playmate. Harry was a grayish Sapsari, we call it Sapsari, with long hair. Those Korean breeds are known to be very smart, but our dogs weren't. They were just dumb. So we did not expect them to behave intelligently other than to be companions for our kids. Being there with our kids while they went through the early stages of emotional development was all we wanted. We knew our dogs and had low expectations. And they did meet all our expectations. My dogs had no idea how much they meant to our kids. Likewise, people's expectations vary according to their abilities. We find this in the parable of talents. Before leaving for a long journey, a master entrusted different amounts to his servant. The first servant received five talents, the second servant two, and the third servant one. Did the master play favoritism? The parable clearly explains the master's reason behind it. The master gave each servant a different amount because each servant's ability differed. The distribution of various amount, therefore, presupposes two facts. One, the master's knowledge of each servant, and two, the master's kindness in asking what his servants could only handle. The master in the parable points to Jesus and the servants, to us, his followers. We all have received talents from Jesus, which can be understood as our crosses from Jesus. How do we customarily understand our crosses? They cause pain and suffering, unpleasant tasks we are not interested in, and burdens that crush us. But our crosses are not all that negative. They have bright sides. We reflected upon it a few Sundays back. We may have thorns, but our thorns have roses too. There is God's grace in our crosses. Where do we see God's grace? Jesus' knowledge of us and our ability. That's the first part of God's grace. And God graciously gives us crosses only within our ability, as the master gave talents according to servants' abilities. Let us dig a little deeper into this truth. James, John, and their mother were very serious about getting promoted to an esteemed political position. A high position comes with big responsibilities. James and John said they could drink the cup Jesus was to drink and took his responsibilities. But they did not have the slightest idea about the cross that Jesus was to carry. It was humanly impossible for any human to undergo the cruelest form of death. That even Jesus cried out in pain, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Look at how Jesus answered to those three, John, James, and their mother. "You will drink my cup, but sitting at my right and left was not my decision." Apparently, the cup that they were to drink was not the same cup as Jesus. They tried to drink the same cup as Jesus's, but they had their own cups, their own crosses. And Jesus knew their crosses that fit their ability. How much did Jesus know the two brothers? Jesus is God and, of course, knows everything. However, Jesus also knew the two brothers through his family circle. The brothers were Jesus' distant relatives through their mother, who did not appear to be related to Jesus by bloodline. Now, there are several leads available in the three Gospels. And like a puzzle, if you put the information together, the picture of the mother becomes clearer. Matthew says Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee, watch the crucifixion at a distance. Mark records the presence of the same three women at the cross and also identifies the name of the mother of James and John as Salome. John says Salome was Mary's sister. Salome was one of the devout women who took care of Jesus and Jesus' disciples during the public ministry. Her presence at the cross shows her devotion and the very root of Salome's devotion goes back to the very fact that Salome was Mary's sister. Salome's family relationship with the Virgin Mary makes Zebedee, Jesus' brother-in-law, and James, John, Jesus' cousins. His family relationship helps construct that Jesus knew James and John from their early childhood. And there are some hints in the gospel about that. You know, John was regarded as the beloved disciples and very close to Jesus. And John was the one who leaned back against Jesus during the Last Supper, sitting right next to him, next to Jesus. And while Jesus was on the cross, Jesus entrusted his mother, Mary, that is John's aunt, to John and said, "Now she is your mother, take care of her," right? And there was a reason why Jesus asked John to take care of Mary. So if they were Jesus' cousins, that means Jesus would have known them at least, what, about probably more than 20 years when Jesus began his public ministry. He was 30 years old, and I assume that James and John were somewhere around that, maybe in their 20s or a little over 30s, so more than 20 years. Jesus called James and John sons of thunders. The Gospels do not explain why, but Jesus would surely have known their personalities that fit their nickname. After the resurrection, Jesus spoke to Peter about John's death and said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" John's remaining until Jesus' return meant a long life. As Jesus implied, John lived a really long life compared to the rest of the disciples who suffered martyrdom. John was the only one to die from a natural cause when he was 88. You know, 88 was a very long time because the lifespan, average lifespan during John's day was around 35 years. John wrote five books in the New Testament, such as John's Gospel and three letters. And while in exile in Patmos Island because of his faith, John wrote the book of Revelation. And that's John. He enjoyed a long life, wrote five books, and he was very close to Jesus. James, too, was very close to Jesus as a cousin, but John had a different, lived a different kind of life. You know what happened to James? James became the first disciple to suffer martyrdom shortly after the birth of Christ's church. First one to die among 12 disciples. The two brothers came from the same family. They sought the equal privilege of serving Jesus on the right and the left of Jesus' throne. But they were given two distinct crosses. We do not know the reason, but can agree that Jesus knew them and that gave them crosses that they could handle. This truth is implied to our crosses as well. Jesus has a perfect knowledge of us and our abilities, and he gives us crosses according to our abilities. Moreover, we can always count on God's grace, which is greater than our crosses. Let's review on Paul's thorn. Paul said he had a thorn that was unbearable to him, so painful in his flesh. So the pain that he experienced through the thorn was the physical one that he felt like a tormenting and weakened his body. And I can just simply imagine the kind of pain that he experienced. The physical pain that was so tormenting and that weakened his body could have immobilized him. You know, I mean, Paul 100% dedicated to the ministry of the gospel. And why didn't God listen to Paul's prayer when he asked not just one, but three times, right? He could have served the Lord more effectively, more powerfully, but God didn't. And God's answer to Paul's prayer was, "My grace is sufficient for you." However unbearable his cross was, God's grace was sufficient for Paul. Sometimes we feel like that our crosses are way too heavy, are way too painful. However we may feel about our crosses, God still gives us his sufficient grace. We may have a thorn or two that causes a great deal of aching. But let us look at our crosses again through those lenses of God's grace. However painful our crosses may seem, God graciously gives us crosses that we can handle. In Reader's Digest, Jim Williams of Butte, Montana writes the following. I was driving too fast late one night when I saw the flashing lights of a police car in my rear view mirror. As I pulled over and rolled down the window of my station wagon, I tried to dream up an excuse for my haste. But when the patrolman reached the car, he said nothing. Instead, he merely shined his flashlight in my face, then on my 7-month pregnant wife, then on our snoozing 18-month-old in his car seat, then on our 3 other children who are also asleep, and lastly, on the 2 dogs in the very back of the car. Returning the beam of light to my face, he then uttered the only word of the encounter. Son, he said, you can't afford a ticket. Slow it down. And with that, he returned to his car and drove away. The police officer quickly learned that the young husband had big financial obligations, and out of kindness, he decided not to add any more financial burden to him. And our God works just like that. There is God's grace in our crosses. God knows us inside and out. He knows what we can and cannot undergo. God would not allow crosses if they are beyond our ability. And God's grace is always much greater than our crosses. Amen.
Presentation of our tithes and offerings. We have a plate at the entrance, and you may also mail them into the church office. And we are speaking from a financial perspective of our church. We are very grateful for all the tithes that you give to our church. Thank you. And now we're going to have the beautiful music. Jesus shed his blood for me. Thank you very much, Young.
Jesus came. Pray.
Jesus, you gave your whole being for our salvation. Here we give you this thanksgiving, acknowledging what you have done for us in our lives. Lord, this is our commitment. This is our thanksgiving. We ask you to receive it and bless it, that it may be used to extend your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now if you'll join in singing The Old Rugged Cross, number 504.
Come to worship you and have been reminded of our crosses that you have given unto us. You have been so gracious that you have given us crosses that we can endure, and we want to commit ourselves to cherish those crosses that we see in our lives. Strengthen us, O Lord, and help us that we may continue to carry out those crosses with joy, that we may bring glory unto you as we carry out the mission that we have found in our life. So, Lord, send us forth with this commitment and in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.